Fletcher.
Amen. We'll be singing that chorus quite a bit here during our campaign. Amen. Little as much when God is in it. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Romans. And we'll be there for a Bible study like we have been tonight. But I do want the ushers to go ahead and pass out that paper for the campaign. I want to, if we can try to keep it to one per couple or family here and make sure we have enough. And then I have a bunch of copies that I didn't get my wonderful wife to proof for me. And evidently I can't spell auditorium. Or at least I took my best shot at it. And I really didn't, I flew by it and I was wondering why spell check couldn't spell auditorium either. But anyway, because they didn't say there was anything wrong with it, but praise the Lord. So if we need some more, I have some of those that you'll just have to take my word for it. That's what I meant to say was auditorium, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, after we get them all handed out, we already have our bulletin had gone out with the different 5 weeks here. This is just for us to enjoy ourselves and to do what God has already called us to do as a church. And so if you look at the front side there are 5 weeks. This coming Sunday is Friend Day. Then we have Life Change Sunday like we always have. We'll go out, and again, we want to invite folks. There are a lot of folks that are just like we are that would come and maybe not Christians, but they believe in, again, the right to life. Amen. And so those are good folks to invite to come to church and to stand with us. They believe in this and they'll come on a special day like that. So it's a great day to invite folks to be here. Again, invite others, you know, on this Sunday. Any Sunday you can get them here. Invite those. Begin early and often. Then we're calling it Field Day. And the Field Day is just anybody you work with, somebody that has the same hobbies as you. All right. You just somebody that's a friend that, again, I don't know, maybe you like to knit and you knit together. I've never really been one of those, but my grandmother was. Amen. And so I got a lot of different kind of hats and crocheted blankets and things of that nature. Anyway, but you know, if you're a crocheter and you have somebody you crochet with, you can invite them to come. If you have other hobbies, you know, like shooting. It's more one I could get into. Not getting shot, but shooting like targets and things of that nature, enjoying those things. So again, if you have somebody that maybe, you know, again, it's a day, just say, hey, we're inviting friends and folks that have the like interests like us, that this Field Day, so we're going to invite you. Again, like we've always done over the last few years, we've had a table in the back with gift items and books. So you and your visitor that comes will be able to go back to the table, get a book, get one of those, there's all kinds of fall related type items back there, and we'll constantly be freshening that table as it gets expiring with things going. Again, we want you to invite, and we want them to feel like they came and they were welcomed, and we'll do that, but we'll also, you're going to get points for that. And so all the way up to Roundup Sunday, open house is what we've called when we have a meal. So you and your guest, a lot of times you can invite someone to come with you, and you and your guest can stay for a meal here right after the morning service over in the fellowship hall. And this year, it's very easy. You know, I mean, it just fits. We're going to kind of have farm theme fall. So you got to have fried chicken, you know, and just the home style mashed potatoes and all the things that go with it. They're very home style. And then Roundup Sunday, get your picture taken with Grady Judd like we have before. So I want to explain the points and the way this will happen so everybody's on the same page. Everyone will go to your Sunday school class, and Sunday school is when all cards will be turned in. If you don't get the card in by Sunday school, it's not going to count. So everyone that's going to count for this is going to count their Sunday school. They're going to turn their cards in at Sunday school, and they'll take them in, and we're not going to receive them after Sunday school time because it is a Sunday school campaign. All right, so your Sunday school class is broken down on the back. Don't go there yet. We're going to go through. I saw that. Amen. And so, make sure you stay on the front side with me. And so 1 point for each service attended. So one of the things we want you to encourage other folks to do that are on your team is be here more than just Sunday morning. Sunday school and church will count as one service. All right. Sunday night will count as a service, and Wednesday night will count as, so there's a total of 3 points that you can get for being here every service, and again, more points for your team, all right, for more services that you can attend. It's just an encouraging thing to try to help folks to do that. 5 points per visitor. So if you bring visitors, you get 5 points, 3 points if you're bringing a returning visitor. So if someone comes with you and then continues throughout the campaign, you can keep marking that person down on your team for 3 more points for every week that they return after the first time that you get them here for 5 points. So that, you got it so far? Everybody good? Easy. It's going to be a little piece of card that you'll have in Sunday school in the main auditorium. Sunday school classes will hand those out, and they will be filled out in the main auditorium. In the kids' classes, it's going to be a little bit harder, and we'll explain a little bit of that tomorrow night, how we're going to try to track down to do that. But in, at least in adult classes, in the teen class, they will hand out the card. It will go by the honor system. If someone says that they passed out 1.5 million tracts, we are probably not going to count that, okay? That's why we're having you write it down on the card so that we can say, no, number one, we didn't have that many tracts at the church. Number two, you know, and so we can go through the process. So you understand how that works. Then 3 points for giving out 10 tracts or more between Sunday services. So our goal here is not to, again, we want it to be an incentive to do something that we ought to do. Again, this is not necessarily just going out on a visitation and knocking doors, but just any time through the week passing out tracts to folks who walk by and witnessing. We want to be able to do that, but this is just 10 tracts, and we would love for you to do more. But at the same time, we don't want one person who has all day to break out and pass out, again, 50,000 tracts. I would love that. But I want you to do that for the Lord Jesus, not because you get that many more points for your team, okay? So we want to encourage everyone to take part in this and something to be a part. So 3 points can be given out for tracks, 10 tracks or more. And so we'd love for you to give out more, but we would like for you to kind of shoot for that 10 mark. 2 points for being on a visitation meeting. So that's any of our visitation meetings. If you're at Foster Club, if you're at Fishers of Men, if you're at our bus meeting on the Thursday night, ladies visitation, any one of those visitation meetings that you're at, that's going to gain you 2 points. We want you to come to one of those visitation meetings and be a part of that. It helps us. A lot of those meetings, folks give testimony, folks give encouraging. Sometimes they give tips that will help you while you're out knocking doors. And so it helps, again, if you want to follow up. Some folks don't want to go cold door knocking. So Thursday night visitation is more about taking a card from someone who has already visited our church and going and seeing them and just encouraging them to come back again, that we're thankful for them having visited our church, and then encouraging them to come back. So there's all types of different visitation ways to go, with the bus visitation and things like that. And so all of those different meetings, if you come to the bus meeting on Saturday morning and you have that time, not only will you get 2 points, but you can get breakfast if you come in the morning. Amen. So we have breakfast provided during that time. Turn it over to the back, and we'll separate before we get into our in the book of Romans tonight. This is the two teams. All right, Brother Doug Altjes is here. Stand up, Brother Doug. This is the blue team leader. All right, he's got blue bib overalls and everything. And he is part of the Swampy Bottom Boys. And, you know, so he'll probably show up for Roundup Sunday and things like that. But they are the blue believers, all right? And so if you're on his team, that would constitute Pastor Carter's Sunday school class. That's the auditorium Sunday school class. And then you have third through fifth grade. All the kids in that area right now, they're running probably somewhere between that 45 to 70 mark on a Sunday morning, depending on how much incentive we have on the bus routes that week. And they'll track in that, in their gathering meeting, they're going to track points for that group to add to your group. And then first and second grade junior church. So if you serve in those areas, all right, so this is a question everyone's going to have, and I want you to tune your ears in. If you serve in those areas, that's the team you're on. All right, so if you're a Sunday school teacher for third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, you're on the blue team, okay? And so if you are in there, so your points are going to be added to your Sunday school class's points and going towards that. If you're, you know, again, if you're in first or second grade and you're not in this first or second grade, but you're working in that department, your points are also going towards that team's points, and you're going to add those with all the young kids that are in your class. And again, we're going to work on that. We'll talk about this, not to take all the service tonight about it, But we'll talk in our teachers and workers banquet tomorrow a little bit about how we're going to score our children's churches and how we're going to be able to do that in a timely fashion so that it doesn't take the entire church hour to do so. Amen. And we're going to do that. We're also having a bus campaign, don't forget. So that's all going to be between the buses. That none of those points will go towards this campaign. Their classes are in Sunday school, and so we'll do that. So we'll make it clear as mud tomorrow night. Amen. The Red Faithful team is going to be Brother James is a leader. Brother James is up in Kentucky right now, and so he's at Brother Fugit's church in a big meeting they have there, the church growth conference, and he's presenting our curriculum up there and doing the table and also getting some good preaching while he's up there. So he'll be the team leader. So all other adult classes that do not meet in the auditorium will be. So again, if it's a single mothers or crossroads, all the college and career age group, the married couples class, again, brother Larson, myself, if you're in one of those Sunday school classes, you guys are all on the red team, included with the teenagers and our Spanish church. All right, and so that group makes up about, actually, if you funny enough, it's about 224 when we added up the average from all that on the red team, and the blue team had 225 as their average attendance. All right, so again, both of those groups, we tried to even it up the best we could between Sunday school and these groups, and this is, again, for bragging rights, for fun and enjoyment, but also to see folks saved. Amen. And to do what we already would do even if we didn't have this campaign. Now, one of the fun things we're going to do in here, and I'm not sure how many points, we're thinking about 100 points, but it may not be enough. When you come in Sunday, the balcony will have a field on each side of the balcony, and it's going to have plowed rows in the field. And we have a tractor, a blue tractor for the blue team and a red tractor for the red team. And as we get points, kind of like we do at camp, how we used to push that thing down the side for how many thousand points we have, the tractor will move through the field and leave plants in the field. And we'll keep doing that, and we'll see if we can't fill the balconies up, all right? And it'll give us a good idea of what team is in the lead by seeing who has worked through their field and how many plants are up there. So we'll have a good time with it. If you have some questions about this after the service, I'd be happy to answer them, or we can maybe answer some of those things tomorrow night. But if you'd put that away, stick it in your filing cabinet like I do, and in your Bible somewhere, all right? And then think about, you know, what you're going to wear through the campaign if you're on the blue team, right? You got to get all my blue stuff out, right? And you may not want to paint your face blue. Might seem out of place, you know. And I'd dye my hair blue, but I don't have much. So just kidding. Amen. I'm just kidding. But again, and Brother Richard, I'm not sure what he's going to do, but somebody pray for him. Amen. So that he, amen. He's a part of the teen group. He's a Sunday school teacher over there, so he's going to be on the red team. Amen. And so I hope you'll make a matter of prayer that you will work and enjoy this. And again, that really is just for us to be able to enjoy ourselves while we serve the Lord. Amen. In the book of Romans in chapter 8, we kind of finished up and really talked about, and we're in the area of verse 28, and we began to move past that. And I just want to remind you there, you know, throughout the book, we've kind of gone over how that this is this part of the book where we are now from verse 31 on is where we kind of talked about this is empowering living, empowered living. All right, so we've used all these different E's throughout, and I'm afraid because of time's sake tonight to go back and to begin to review. But again, we've talked about all this emancipated at the early part, and we talked about how all of that is just building till we get to this place here where we're at empowered living. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, we've been freed from the flesh, now having the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us to give us power to choose. Before, the flesh ruled us. Okay, now the flesh is still not saved. Don't forget that, all right? It's still a constant battle. We have to crucify the flesh every morning when we wake up. It still wants what it wants. But now if we have a power within us in the Holy Spirit, if we yield ourselves to Him, we can make right choices. We can live an empowered life through the Holy Spirit of God. We can die to self and live to Christ. That is what everything all the way building up to this point has taught us and where we come. And now we had all these empowering questions, we said last week, and that's kind of where we finished up our time. So all these things, he asked these questions, and sometimes questions, even the question itself is giving us answers. But sometimes, you ever been in a place where I as a counselor sometimes in the office, folks that I know right, sometimes they are struggling with something within themselves. And sometimes I don't give any counsel, I sit and listen. And once they talk through what's going on in their life and they ask some questions, their questions get answered because they say it out loud. How many have ever experienced that in your life where you just kind of go through the process of you say some things? And here, Paul is not trying to question God. He's not drawing questions and making it questionable. He has got questions that empower him. There's things like, again, as we said before, look, it says, what shall we say then to these things? He's talking about how in the world can it be better? You know, in verse 28, that we know all things work together. How can we know that? In verse 31, he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? This is an empowering question. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with also him also freely give us all things? So again, when we think about how can all things work together for good, if God was willing to give his only son to die to redeem me back into himself, then what good thing would he withhold from me? He won't. So as the Christian, we have to ask ourselves, and we spent some time on this, but I just want to remind us again, we're not going to go down this road again, but to just remind us, if we're asking for something that we think we need, and God says no, then God knows what we're asking for is not good for us. Now, we may not know that. We may not understand his will or his way. But when he says no, and sometimes we take when he says, wait on me, as a no sometimes. Because we want it, we're Americans, we want it in the immediate. Amen? We want it like McDonald's. Let me have it in drive-thru. I don't even want to get out of the car. I mean, that's the day and age we live, and we're upset if it takes more than 30 seconds to make it happen. But prayer and answered prayer doesn't always work in our time. Neither does it happen as we drive through. God wants to affect our lives. Amen. I think about even the tracks. Think most of us, and this is not everyone in here, but even if you have small children like I did, chicken nuggets were a way of life for me for a while. And I could have gotten rid of 10 tracks every week easily just going through a drive through and handing it in the window and giving an invitation and saying, why don't you come? By the time I went to the bank, and I got through Wendy's, McDonald's, and Burger King, by the time I went through that week, I would have covered all my tracks easily and invited so many people to church. All I had to do was have a hold of them and be mindful that I needed to do that. And so easily, sometimes we think about empowered living. When am I ever going to have time to do this? You take them with you in your busy life. And people that God takes by, you go by their path. Those are the people we witness to. Those are the people we invite. Those are the people we try to see to affect their lives in our everyday life. We don't have to take and make special time to do this. We make the time we are already living special by being a witness for Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And so he says here in verse 32, he didn't spare his only son. He's going to give everything. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. We spent a lot of time here. And again, God has justified us just as if we have never sinned. So again, there will be so many folks that try to, again, and really, to be honest with you, for a lot of times, it is us who remember the sin in our lives. It's us that judge ourselves. And it's us that forget that we're born and that we're just as if we never sinned. We're the ones that don't think we're worthy. And we're not of his mercy and his grace. But we need to be remembered that he freely gave his son. So what else would he withhold from us? And so whether it's the devil, the great accuser, or whether it's me, the great accuser of myself, of things that's happened in the past, I need to remember that God loves me and that he has justified me, and I'm just as if I never sinned because I'm in Christ Jesus. Our position in Christ Jesus will help us feel like we're more than conquerors rather than feel like I failed again, I've fallen again. And again, what does the Bible say about a just man? It doesn't say that he's always standing. He never falls. He never has any problems. He gets up. Amen. He gets up because, not because he's worthy, but because Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of serving, and I'm not going to stay down. I'm just telling you, when I played the sports and I played football, I'm just going to tell you, one of the things you may not think, you may think, I got beat and I've been blocked, and you'll quit. And you'll have, and then if you quit on the field, that's when you realize, that's when the running back, your team stopped him on that side and he reverses and comes back your way. And yeah, you did get blocked at the beginning of the play. But it's what you do through the rest of the play that matters, because all of a sudden now, if I quit, the guy runs right by me and I realize I would have had a chance to make a play. I would have had a chance to stop what was going on. And same way, you know, we don't have any idea who has been witnessed to and who planted the seed. And though we talked to that same person before and we got rejected, somebody else dropped a seed, and it's my turn to either water or reap the harvest when somebody turns and comes back the second time. And just being ready in a spiritual sense for everyone to come to us, anybody that we know. And again, standing in this place where he says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession. He goes further than I'm just justified, but Jesus stands in heaven to make sure that even if I am accused, he's there. Excuse me? He's been justified. So not only do I have a legal representative in Jesus Christ to represent me in heaven and go, mm-mm, it's been settled. It's been paid for. I've taken care of it. He's justified. And sometimes we forget that. We think, boy, the devil's going to run to heaven with this one. And when he gets there, Jesus is like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's taken care of. That box has been checked. Now he's good. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus could be at the IRS? Amen. Nope, it's paid for. Amen. Amen. I'd love to see him tell Joe Biden. Anyway, so, amen. But he'd forget. Anyway, so, he says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? As he transitions, here it's not just empowering questions, but now he's going to give us from verse 35 to verse 37 here, empowering titles. He talks about that we're more than conquerors. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay. That nay is saying, not on your life. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The whole context of everything that we've read, even the empowering questions, are driving to the fact that this is how Christ sees me. He represents me as justified. He's standing always to give an empowering testimony to who I am in Christ, in heaven. But when I go through all these things, what's going to separate me from the love of God? See, that's what we miss, is what is it that binds me to Christ? The scripture is clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's always been love, and it will always be love that binds me to the heart and the life of Almighty God. And when I realize that who's going to separate me from that love? Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, not famine, not nakedness, not peril, not sword. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed. So death, being persecuted and put to death, being a martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ will not separate me from the love of God. He says, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I don't know about you tonight, but I get excited when I realize that that when and throughout the scripture, I've preached on men. I mean, you know, we talked about all these, you know, Joseph and Joshua, and I mean, we could talk about all these different folks in the areas about the Bible and how they seemingly did not seem like somebody that was a conqueror. All right? But when God looks at them, he didn't see the frail, small person who couldn't do it without God's power, but he saw what they could be if they yielded themselves to the Spirit of God and allowed God to work in their life. I think sometimes we miss the fact that God wants us to be more than conquerors. And again, more than conquerors what? Over sin, death, and hell, because we're in Jesus Christ. We're not always going to win every battle. We've discussed that. All right, but the victory Jesus has already won, and we are more than conquerors in him. He goes on and he finishes up with empowering testimony. And then Paul kind of just sets back and just says, "For I am persuaded." Under the inspiration of God, and again, as a Christian, when I read it and I say it, I hope that you're here tonight and you can say like Paul, that in yourself, that these are not Paul's words, that this is the word of God that I memorize and I take as my own. When you pick a life verse, there are some great ones in the Bible. And you ought not always, you know, maybe you don't want to pick yours from Psalm 51. Okay? I'm just saying, and if you're not familiar with it, you ought to go there. It's not an empowering verse is in there. It's just David getting honest about who he is and in his sin and getting right with God. But wouldn't it be great that we pick to be on the top side of the Christian life and not on the bottom? And we pick a verse that says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor any angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, so many times we have these, doubts and fears about the everyday life. You know that Paul, most of us, even here, have eternity settled in our life. It's about how am I going to face persecution? If persecution came in these United States, how many of us would stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Who would allow it to separate us from the love of Christ? He says, "I'm persuaded that none of these things." Folks, I just want you to understand the person, these things are not able to separate you from God. All right, he's got a hold on you. All right, and I hope you understand this when we're talking, and especially talking about the love of God, all right? When you got saved to a point where God the Father chose you, the Lord Jesus purchased you with his own blood, and the Spirit sealed you unto the day of redemption, and God has got it covered. None of these things are able to separate you from the love of God because he is the one that keeps. He is the one that handles. So many times we put that on us. And the problem that so much of Christianity is in doubting and worrying and I hope so phase of their Christianity is because they're still holding some of it as works in their own selves. But I believe in a God who is able. Amen. I am persuaded that he is able. That's, I'm sure you know, that neither life nor death nor any other principality. I'm just telling you, we've got to come to the place in our life where we get silent on these things. People that are persuaded are people who will witness. People who are persuaded are people who will testify of what they have. Paul is one of those people. He says, "I am persuaded." And it changed his everything. Because before, he wasn't persuaded, and he set out to kill and to destroy the church of the living God. But when he was persuaded that Jesus Christ and him crucified was the way of salvation for all men, it changed his everything. And the zeal he once had unto God that was in ignorance under the law turned to zeal for Christ and I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. And now he saw, again, we preached Sunday night about the marks that he said he bore in his body. He didn't bear those marks because he thought, listen, he was stoned. He wasn't worried about that separating him from God. The man who says this, that God used to pen down his inspired scripture, has experienced many of these things that he lists. He had experienced, listen, death. Okay? He had experienced living the Christian life a while before he pens this down. Even this life can't separate me from God. Nor angels. Hey, if you want to know a man that cast out some demons and had seen some that had some power, Paul was one of those men. Principalities, he lists them. He separates, again, and you got to understand there is a difference between angels and things in the, there's a difference and a separation, and I'm not going in that tonight, but not everything that was a demon, demons and devils are two different things, angels and principalities. Okay, he separates them, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. He said there's nothing in the past, because it's in the past, it's justified. There's nothing in the present that can separate me from the love of God, and there is nothing in the future. So when he gets solid on this thing, he said, there's nothing, there's not a time when I can be separated from the love of God. Nothing in my past, nothing in my present, nothing in my future can separate me from the love of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that is empowering testimony from the Apostle Paul. That encourages me to serve God more, not to serve him less. It doesn't encourage me that, well, nothing can touch me, so I'm just going to never go to church again. What? God's been this good to me, and I'm never going to go, and I'm not going to serve him, and I'm not going to do what he's asked me to do. And again, he asked me, do you love me? If you truly love him, he says you'll keep his commandments. So we keep his commandments. We do that which God and honor him. He moves into chapter 9 after talking about what can separate him from the love of God. He immediately, with a broken heart and under the inspiration of God, as he writes to the Romans, begins to talk about his people, the Jews. He begins to speak about how he's broken on the inside. And even this, he bears his heart under inspiration. And again, says in Scripture, as honestly as I can say it, God uses him to pen down something that I can't understand. I love America, but I don't know that I could wish myself accursed. When he says that in chapter 9, he's saying, I would go to hell if I could take the place of everyone else in my nation. If they could all go to heaven and I could trade my life for theirs. Now, I can tell you as honestly as we head into chapter 9, I have children born in my own home, and I love them with a love like I can't express. I mean, you know, I don't believe, I try to tell teenagers, and you try to help them understand how children will never understand how much their parents love them until they've had a child of their own. And it's not because they can't fathom that they truly are loved, but they don't understand it until they feel it. They don't understand until they have someone who they are willing to be accursed for. That I would be, again, and I can tell you, for my children, I know that I can't wish myself that way. I can't do that for my children. But one of the greatest heartaches of any parent is someone who wonders or does not know if their child is going to spend eternity in heaven. I can't imagine. I don't know if there's anything else in the heart of a believer that would tear at you and hurt you as much as not knowing whether one of your children is going to spend eternity in heaven. Because everything else on this side of heaven is temporal. But that is eternal. And if you're willing to give every dime in the bank and every ounce of who you are to take care of them, to provide for them, to help them be better, man, I tell you, that's temporal. What should you give for their eternity? How much should that be on your conscience and on your forethought of your mind? And Paul, who is called and is the apostle to the Gentiles and knows good and well that that's who he sent to. Every town he went to, he never forgot the Jew. He went to them first and begged them. He said, you guys have had the oracles of God. You ought to know and understand this. To the Gentile, he had to start from ground base one. But when he went to the Jew, he could start by preaching the Messiah and then say, see, he's here in Jesus Christ. When he went to the Gentile, he just preached Jesus Christ. They didn't know who the Messiah was or who was coming. He just preached Jesus, the Son of God. But to the Jew, he had to go in and convince them that the Messiah that they had looked for has come, and his name is Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't understand all of what it is, but I can tell you, Paul says in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Why is it that he felt led and the Holy Spirit had him pen that? Because what he's about to say, some of us wouldn't believe him. But realizing how far Paul would go when he says, I wish myself accursed, he starts the chapter just to make sure you understand he's saying the truth and he's not lying. That if God would cut him a deal and have mercy on all of Israel, and take his own salvation away and in exchange. But listen, folks, you know that's not how it works. Every man that will ever be saved will have to choose for themselves, because God would never force the Jews to accept him and then take Paul's away. God deals with every man's conscience. God deals with every man and lets every man, woman, boy, girl that'll ever be born choose for themselves whether they will accept Jesus Christ as Savior or whether they'll reject him. If you're not careful in this chapter, as we look towards it and we think about it and study it, if you're not careful, you'll get into Calvinism. This is where the Calvinists push and go for God, that God has superiority and power, and he can choose certain vessels to have mercy on, and he can choose others to, I mean, pretty much dropped the hammer on him. And in truth, Paul is expecting you to have read chapter 8 and study it and understand the foreknowledge of God before you get to chapter 9. This is not a singular chapter that you can X out and make doctrine off to chapter 9 without still having the rest of the book in hand. He has already told us the foundation that God wants all men to be saved. He's already left us a foundation that he knows foreknowledge who will accept and who will reject. So then God will decide who he's going to be long-suffering with. You know God doesn't owe you but one time of giving you a witness of himself. He didn't have to have me have somebody witness over and over and over again. Do you know that even at the beginning of the book of Romans, God says that the stars in heaven is enough witness of himself that whether you choose to believe in him or reject him, that's a witness. You don't have to have any more. We've talked about it before, and I might bring it up the next time we meet together, but there were tribes of Indians who a missionary just came through and happenstance told them about a God that wrote a book and died on a cross and rose again. And they sent a party, not a war party, but an investigative party to search out the book that told of this one that had come from the heavens and had died on the cross and had risen again, and wanted to know the depth. You know, when people hear that story, they cannot wait to find a book, to hear it again, to understand what it is. Because that's contrary to everything else. Every other religion says, you come and serve me. You do enough for me, or you die for me, and then you can have salvation. But Christianity is so different, because Jesus said, I'll come and die for you even if you don't choose me. I'll pay your sin debt even if you don't choose me back. Again, what can separate us from the love of God? That just came from the last chapter. Paul's going to say, I wish that I could trade places. But they'll no be trading places. You know, Catholicism teaches that you can, here on earth, you can pray people up out of hell. or pray them out of purgatory, really. I don't really believe in purgatory. That's why I said hell. But I mean, there's some in-between place that you can pray them up or down. Wouldn't it be terrible if that was a true statement and you didn't pray for somebody who was hanging in limbo? I didn't burn enough candles for them. I didn't buy enough toenails from Peter. Man, Peter had some long toenails. If everybody that buys toenails got his real toenails. And that must have been one big cross. They've sold so many slivers of the real cross. And folks, hold on to it. Don't gap your mouth open and look at me like that tonight. Listen, a bunch of other people have sold prayer cloths. And people buy them too. Put your prayer request in this and fold it up tonight. Sleep under your pillow and tomorrow you'll have it. People pay for that junk. People get duped into that stuff every day. The Catholics just been doing it longer than anybody else. You say, why are you calling out names? Because they're real people just like we are. You think they pull punches with us? You know what they say about us? They say all kinds of things, don't they? Folks, I'm not trying to be mean to them. I'm just telling you, when we have the truth, why wouldn't we take it to the world? All these folks are trying to sell their wares and goods to people, saying, if you just had this toenail or this piece or sliver of the cross, if you just eat this cracker and drink this juice and let the priest say hocus pocus over it, and you're laughing about it, but that's exactly what they say when they finish up. And the reason that's the joke about all magicians who are really illusionists, okay? The priest prays hocus pocus over it, and they think that it really turns into the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And why somebody in the past hasn't called them cannibals, I don't know. And then Jesus passes through your system. And when he passes on, you got to have him again. Wouldn't that be a terrible way to have to be saved? Week after week after week. Folks, I'm just telling you, that's what folks out there are believing. And we're hesitant to invite a Catholic to church. They desperately need the truth. We're afraid not to hurt their feelings. But when you contemplate, listen, when I think about my children going to hell, that breaks my heart. But you know, it breaks my heart when I drive by that Catholic church on a Sunday afternoon. When I get out of here just at the right time of day, and I go the back way and I sit on 10th Street and I watch the car after car after car sit. And you may think the preacher's sitting there going, man, why don't these people get out of my way? I'm sitting there with tears welling up in my eyes because I'm watching person after person who were headed headlong for a place called hell. And they all just were at a place that they consider as church. And they thought they just took Jesus again. And they're driving away feeling good about themselves for another week. And I knew if they just drove just a little ways up the road and got in a car accident, they'll die and go to a place called hell. They deserve a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, a true witness. Not one that lies to them. And we live in this town. Listen, you want to know, we think, you know, we got the town locked down. Folks, you drive by that place. You drive by the Presbyterian Church. Parking lot's full of people who got a little bit of truth. And they're holding on to it. But that little bit of truth isn't the truth of salvation. So again, religious people need to be witnessed to. Lost people, doesn't matter if they're religious or not, the lost are lost and they need the truth of Jesus Christ, and we must be a witness of him until he comes. What's going to separate us from the love of God? Say, I've got a Catholic friend, it's going to hurt their feelings if I'm a witness to them. I'd rather hurt their feelings and know that I did what I was supposed to do. Not because I'm mean, but because I truly love them. Do you know, my daddy used to tell me this as a boy. Son, I'm spanking you because I love you. You know, I wish several times I could love him back when I was a kid. I'm serious. But when I became a daddy, I knew exactly what he meant. because I had no desire to inflict pain upon my child. But I knew this is what the Bible said my child needed. And with tears and a broken heart, I say, son, I'm doing this because I love you. You say, preacher, why you bring that up at the end? Because every one of us, listen, there are times that we go through tough, tough things. And we don't really understand why God's word says to do it that way. But I've learned in this life, I'm just best off to do it how God told me to do it. It's always going to work out best if I do it his way. Folks, witnessing's no different. Believing, trying to share with others the gospel of Jesus Christ, some of the people that I thought would absolutely reject it, when I presented it, after I had wept, knowing I probably was never going to have this friend again, when I went forth and I wept over that thing, I can't tell you every one of them got saved, but I don't have one of them that doesn't still talk to me. Every one of them saw my broken heart for them and knew that I came in love to share the gospel. Folks, I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul loved his people. He loved Israel with all that he was. And again, I don't know where you're from, but I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I don't love the traffic in Haines City. You know, I don't love that about it. But God has put my heart in this place. And I drive up and down the streets. Just today, I've talked with several people in our city government. You know, and they need the Lord Jesus too. Again, we got to be a witness to everybody in our town. And I just, you know, I think, man, you know, one of them told me they went to school here. Called you by name, Dr. Pitts. Said Brother Nixon spanked him. I said, what? But I thought, man, what an impact our church has had on our town. For a man to talk about being raised here and going through our school. And he was glad for his days here. He was happy to have gone and proud to be a patriot. And I thought, man, well, I don't ever want to let up that. We, you know, as the end comes, well, I want to be faithful to the end. As a church, as a ministry, I want to have that testimony that we're a witness, a light in our town, and that we train and disciple folks and we send them out. Amen. Listen, tonight, I don't know what God did in your heart, but I can tell you, you know, this harvest truly is great. And we talk about the laborers are few. That's what the Bible says. Pray. The Lord will send us laborers. Wouldn't it be great if we had a campaign not only to see people saved, but then for fruit to remain. Amen. And to grow into witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there was a time in my life that I wasn't a witness for Jesus, but somebody prayed for me. And I was someone who got saved, and I stuck. I got planted on good soil, and I grew up, and I became a witness. And I've trained others to witness. And I want to train witnesses to continue witnesses, because one day, after 50 years, I'm sure, right? Amen. If the Lord tarries his coming, I won't be able to do that anymore. And I'll need to have some folks I've trained that can keep doing. You know, the Apostle Paul, we don't always think about it like that, but we can trace our lineage back to a passage of somebody writing a book saying, and somebody that had zeal who went to the Gentiles and preached the gospel and trained people to be witnesses. And we can trace it back from this church, not person by person and who baptized each other, but we can look back and say, this is our foundation. We are continuing in the apostles' doctrine even till today. And so let's continue in it. Let's continue to be true to it until he comes. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. As the musicians come tonight, let me ask you to do this. Maybe you just need to come and ask the Lord to help you be a witness during this campaign. Maybe you need to come tonight and just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do all things well. Give me insight on how I can serve you through this campaign, who I can invite. Put people in my way that I can witness to. And maybe tonight you're here and you need to be saved. Maybe you'd step out and come. And I'll meet you right here in the front and take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. As Brother Bert sings, you do what God has asked you to do.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, this is an invitation for you. We're inviting you to come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home for a Bible reason. Why don't you step out and do that tonight? Get it settled. If you need to tonight, come down and we'll take a Bible and show you, as Brother Bert sings.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Sing this next verse with him.
Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.